You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, for the past few weeks, we've been teaching a series called This Is Us. We've been studying the book of Ephesians together. We've been talking about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. We've been talking about our place in God's family, the church. Like, this is us. This is who we are. And I hope you've been enjoying this series. I hope you've been reading along with us. How many of you have been reading with us through the book of Ephesians? Come on, we're all in this together. If you fell off the horse, you can get back on the horse. You can get caught up this week, okay? So here's your homework for this week. I want to invite you to read along with us Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Every week we're covering a portion of scripture in Ephesians. So today I'm going to teach through chapter 3. But this week, read the first 16 verses of Ephesians chapter 4, and you'll come next Sunday better prepared to receive the message, okay? We're growing together. There's strength when we do this together. So we're all going to read, and we're going to finish out. We're going to finish our summer reading strong, okay? Well, speaking of summer reading, can you believe this is the last full week of summer? Like, where did it go? Went by fast, right? Like, next week, the kids will be going back to school. And you know, it's interesting. I've been seeing on social media some of my friends down south, like, their kids are already in school, and everybody's been posting their pictures from the first day of school. And it's always interesting to see the different reactions with parents. Like, you know, the parents who have kindergartners who are leaving for the first time to go off to school, the parents are really emotional, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe my baby's all grown up, and how do I say goodbye, and how do I, like, you know, leave them all day? And then there are the rest of us veteran parents who are celebrating, like, freedom, yes! Come on, some of you parents are like, can I get an amen? In fact, we have a meme up here today to kind of express the feeling, you know, the difference between kindergarten parents on the first day of school and sixth grade parents on the first day of school. A little bit different experience, right? Well, you know, one thing that all good parents have in common is we want to see our kids do well, right? Like, we've invested so much into them, so much time and energy. Like, we want them to grow. We want them to flourish. We want them to become everything that we know they can become. We see their potential. And today, we're gonna look at a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. And he's writing as a spiritual father who wants to see these believers in Ephesus, these believers who he invested in, who he shared the gospel with. He wants to see them flourish. He wants to see them grow spiritually. He wants to see them embrace, like, everything that God has for them, his work in their lives. And so today we're going to look at this prayer. And I believe by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the Apostle Paul's prayer is for us today as well. So we're going to jump right into it. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 14. Now, last week, just to recap, we finished out Ephesians chapter 2. We talked about how Christ is actually the bridge who allows us to come near to God the Father. We talked about how Christ broke down the wall that divides Jew and Gentile. He made a way for all of us to come together no matter what our background is, and he created this one family, this new humanity, the church. And Paul talks about that some more at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 3. So if you didn't get a chance to read chapter 3 this week, go ahead and read and get caught up. But we're going to fast forward to this beautiful prayer that the Apostle Paul prays. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. I'm using the NIV today if you want to follow along with a digital device. The words are going to be on the screen. Here we go. The Apostle Paul writes this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. So stop right there. The Apostle Paul begins with this prayer, and he says, for this reason. Well, what reason? Well, Paul's saying, because of who you are in Christ, because of all that God has done for you, everything that Paul has previously described in chapters 1 and chapter 2. If you remember in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, like, you've been chosen, you've been adopted, you've been redeemed, you've been predestined, like, God has a plan for your life. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, you've been saved by grace, right, through faith, and God has, like, redemptive work for you to do. And last week, we talked about how Jesus has made a way for us to be reconciled with the Father and with each other to find our place in God's family, the church. Paul saying, in light of all that God has done for you, like, my prayer is for you to embrace the work of God in your lives. Like, I don't want to see this go to waste. I want to see you become everything that God desires you to become. And then he begins to pray this prayer. Now, how many of you think that if the Apostle Paul felt it was important enough to actually record this prayer in his letter to the Ephesians, that we might want to just pay attention this morning, that we might want to embrace some of the things that he writes about? We might even want to pray in to some of this. Well, that's what we're going to do this morning. I want to give you three things that we need in order to embrace God's work in our lives, okay? Because that's what Paul's prayer is for us in Ephesians chapter 3. So three things that we need to embrace the work of God in our lives so that we can flourish, so that we can grow spiritually. How many of you want to grow spiritually? Come on, five of you, the rest of you, I'm praying for you. How many of you want to embrace God's work in your life? Well, that's what Paul prays for us. So we want to lean in this morning and be taking some notes. I didn't actually invite you to jot down some notes in the note sheets we gave you, or use the Redemption app if you don't have it. Download it at our website and take some notes today. Here's the first thing, three things that we need to embrace God's work in our lives. Number one, we need the power of the Spirit inside of us. We sang about that today, didn't we? We prayed into that already this morning. But Paul tells us we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Look at verse 16 to the beginning of verse 17. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the first thing we need to embrace God's work in our lives, we need the power of the Spirit at work inside of us. Look at what Paul writes in verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. Paul's saying God has unlimited riches. He has unlimited resources. He has all of the power that you need. Like, you can't like out tap the power of God. You can't short circuit the power of God. And the power of God, the connection here, the power source is his Spirit. Now, Jesus told the disciples when he was about to ascend back into heaven, he said, you know, I'm leaving, but it's good for me to go because I'm going to leave you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be with you at all times. In fact, the Holy Spirit's going to come to live on the inside of you. So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, when you placed your faith in Christ, when you received him in your life, you received the Holy Spirit. But it's not God's desire for this to be a one-time occasion. In fact, the Apostle Paul in other places in the New Testament tells us that we should be continually filled with the Spirit of God. This is why we need times of worship. This is why we gather together on the first day of the week. In fact, there's this image in the New Testament of being baptized in the Spirit, of actually having the Holy Spirit like flood your soul. And some of you, you've experienced that before. There have been these times in worship where the Holy Spirit just like came over you. Paul's saying, like, in order for you to become what God desires you to become, you need to experience this work of the Spirit in your life. And where do you need to be strengthened? He says in verse 16, in your inner being. Everybody say inner being. Oh, you guys aren't awake yet this morning. In your inner being, you'll get there. This is synonymous with your heart. And the scripture talks about your heart. The heart is the control center of your life. This is the place where you understand life, where you experience life. This is where you make choices. This is your will. This is the center of your being. Our culture has kind of had this awakening to the fact that we're spiritual beings. Many people don't consider themselves to be religious, but people are beginning to realize that, you know, we have a spiritual core to who we are, and we have to take care of it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 puts it this way: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Come on, the center of your being, your will, your heart, you got to guard it. You have to be careful with what goes into it, and you better pay attention to what flows out of it, because it tells you a lot about the health of your soul. Let me ask you this morning, like, what is the greatest influence over your heart today? What's influencing you? Is it power? Is it money? Is it achievement? Is it sex? What is it? There are all of these different things that people allow to influence their heart. But the scripture reminds us, like, guard your heart. Be strengthened and guarded in your inner being, because everything you do flows from who you are on the inside, your heart, your inner being. And it's fascinating that we naturally pay so much attention to our outer being, don't we? Come on, if we're honest this morning, like, we're really concerned with the way we look, the way we dress, our appearance. Come on, this is the New York City area, one of the fashion capitals of the world. When you move to New York, you got to step your game up a little bit, don't you? I had to throw out some of my clothes when I got here. Come on, we pay a lot more attention to how we dress, how we look. We spend a lot of money and time and energy on dieting and exercising, right? And going to the gym and working out. I know some of you've been working out really hard. You've been getting buff, and we notice. We just want to let you know we notice. You know, me, I'm just natural. I don't have to go to the gym. Just some of us, it's, you know, God gives us naturally. I'm growing in other places these days, other regions. But, you know, we can tell you've been working out. Ladies, we know you've been going to the salon, getting your nails done and getting your hair done. Like, we notice you look good. And we're so glad for your outer appearance. But Paul says you ought to pay attention to your inner being. Because this is the core of who you are. Like, you can go to the gym and strengthen your outer being, but how strong is your inner being? You need to pay attention to that. Because here's the point. If you're strong on the inside, it doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. Are you with me this morning, church? If you're strong on the inside, how many of you have learned that you really can't control what's happening on the outside anyway? Right? There are circumstances in life that are beyond your control. There are times when you can't control your health. My kids gave me a cold this week in the middle of August. I got a cold that put me flat on my back. You can't control sometimes what happens to you in your career, in the workplace, in your finances, in your relationships. You can't control what other people do to you at times, but what you can control is your response. And Paul said, if you will cultivate an inner strength of the Spirit, you will have everything that you need. Even though what's on the outside is changing and circumstances are shifting, there's an inner strength that we need, and the power source is the Holy Spirit. Like, we need to get a hold of this to become everything that God wants us to be. And here's the result. Look at verse 17. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Like, Paul's prayer is that believers would so experience the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, like the very Spirit of Jesus himself, right? Christ, like he gives us his Spirit, okay? That we would experience that to such a degree that it changes our lives, that it literally changes the way we live. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been around, like, a godly person who had such a presence about them? Like, when you spent time with them, you felt like you were closer to Jesus just being around them? You ever been around somebody like that? I see some hands going up. Yeah. We need people like that in our lives. I have a dear friend named John who prays for me quite often. He's like a brother to me. And when John prays with you, like, you feel like Jesus is in the room with you. You're like, dude, can you do that again? Like, that was amazing. Okay. But, you know, we can experience this for ourselves as well. I would bet this morning there have been times in your life where the presence of Jesus was very real for you, and it changed how you normally experience life. And maybe you were even a little bit surprised and caught off guard. Maybe it changed your reaction. Maybe you went through a situation where normally you would have anxiety. You would freak out. You would have fear. You would go on a tailspin, but all of a sudden you experienced a peace. And you're like, where did that come from? The Spirit of Jesus was very real in your life. The Holy Spirit at work in your life was very real. Maybe you went through a time where normally you would have fear. You went through a situation where you would be fearful. You'd be scared to death. You would be like immobile, like you wouldn't even know what to do. But instead, what came over you was faith. All of a sudden, you begin to experience faith, like you trusted God. And you're like, I know this doesn't come from me. It was the Holy Spirit at work in you. Maybe there's somebody who rubs you the wrong way. Come on, we all got somebody like that. Some of y'all have somebody's picture in your mind right now. You're throwing darts at that picture. There's that person who rubs you the wrong way. And normally, your normal reaction would be anger, frustration, bitterness, unforgiveness. But grace has come over your life. And forgiveness, like, from a place that, like, wasn't inside of you, but it came from the Holy Spirit. That's this experience that Paul wants us to have. And so how would it change things to live with a sense that Christ dwells in your hearts, like, on a daily basis? You know, sometimes when I'm praying, I have a very convicting thought. I think about, like, how would I experience this day if I really believed what I say I believe, that Jesus is present and he's with me? Like, how would I treat my wife, right? Like, how would I talk to my kids, you know? How would you interact with your coworkers if you really believe that, like, Jesus' presence is with you? How would you drive in traffic? Come on, if you really believe the presence of Jesus was with you. Some of you are like, I feel convicted right now. Have mercy on me, Lord. Yeah, it would change things, wouldn't it? Do we really believe what we say we believe? But can I tell you this morning, we can pray into this. Like, the Apostle Paul prayed this for us. Like, you can pray for this. Sometimes the best thing you could do is stop your day and just say, Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you into my day. I mean, it's really good if you do that first thing in the morning, but let's just be real. We have some mornings where the day gets away from us, and before you know it, things are tense, we're anxious, we're having altercations with people, whatever, our day isn't going so great. Can I tell you that, you know what can change your life? A simple prayer, Holy Spirit, come into my day. God, strengthen me from the inside out. You might even be in the middle of an argument. You could actually stop and say, I'm going to stop and invite the Holy Spirit into this moment right now. It would change your life. How many of you know that would change our lives? That's perhaps the best thing you could do. And so Paul's saying, if you want to embrace the work of God in your life, the first thing is you got to embrace the power of the Spirit working on the inside of you. Okay, here's the second thing. We're talking about three things that we need to embrace based on this prayer, that we need to embrace in order to experience God's work in our lives. And the second thing is this, a greater revelation of the love of Christ. A greater revelation of the love of Jesus. Here's what Paul prays in verse 17 through 19. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So the second thing Paul tells us that we need, that he prays for us as believers, is that we would have a greater revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 17. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? In love." I like what the New Living Translation, the way it puts it. It says, "Then your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." So it's great imagery, isn't it? Like, we know that a healthy tree needs to have healthy roots, right? Like, a healthy, fruitful, productive tree is a tree that has roots that go down, that keep it rooted into the nutrients of the soil, into the water table where it can draw up water. This is the imagery Paul says. He says, "I want you to know that love, the love of Jesus, is the foundation of your spiritual life. It's love that roots us, not guilt, not condemnation, not obligation, not I have to go to church, I have to pray, I have to forgive people." No, that's obligation. Love changes things. When you experience love from someone, you want to give back. You get to give back. And so Paul's saying, "I want you to experience in a greater way the love of Christ. This is the root of your spiritual life. I want you to live and breathe on this foundation." And in verse 18, here's his prayer. "And I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Paul's saying, like, you really can't even fully comprehend the love of God. But my prayer for you is that you would get a glimpse of it, that you would have these moments where you experience the love of Christ, the depth of it, the height of it, the width of it, in such a way that it transforms your life. Pray that you have a revelation of it. You know, I'm a father of three boys, and you know, my kids will never fully understand my love for them as a father, right? There's just this intrinsic, just deep love that I've had for them as their father and raising them. Yeah, there's some days I want to kill them, but the reality is I love them with a father's love. And I want them, even though they'll never fully comprehend the love of their father, I want them to experience it at times. Come on, I want them to catch some glimpses of it every now and then. Because can I tell you this morning, church, that love changes people? Love changes people. That's what Paul's saying. Love has the power to transform you. You know, Bishop Michael Curry kind of surprised the world a few months ago at the royal wedding, the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan. And you know, because nobody expected the sermon to be the best part of the royal wedding, right? It kind of shocked some people over in the UK. And he talked about the power of love. He said, "Oh, there's power in love." Come on, wasn't he good? He was so good. He said, "We must discover love, the redemptive power of love." And he went on to talk about the self-sacrificial love of Jesus. He just went and preached the gospel. My favorite part in the whole sermon is the part where he said Jesus didn't get an honorary doctorate for dying on the cross. And he talked about the power of self-sacrificial love to change the world. And for just a moment, it seemed like the entire globe was leaning in and kind of amening collectively Bishop Michael Curry, because I think people know there's power in love. Like, deep down the inside of us, no matter where you are in your spiritual journey, we've seen that the power of love to transform people. Love changes people. As I was thinking about this week, I thought about a trip that I took to Romania, that nation in Eastern Europe, back in 2000 when I was in Bible college. And we went on this mission trip to volunteer at an orphanage for a week. And the nation of Romania had an awful orphan problem in the 80s and 90s and into the 2000s. And this was largely due to their communist dictator, Ceausescu. This was a former Eastern Bloc communist country. Ceausescu had this program to up the birth rate in Romania to create a greater workforce. And he outlawed birth control, and he had all these like kind of pro-birth rate policies. But the problem is the people of Romania were poor. And families couldn't take care of all of these kids. And so they ended up with this awful orphan crisis on their hands. And many of these children ended up in state-run orphanages and places. And they just didn't have enough staff to take care of all these kids. And in fact, it's documented that in some cases, they were like brand new babies. I'm talking like a few months old, less than a year old, that laid in beds and never had any physical touch. Never had any affirmation of love. They were never picked up and held. And in fact, researchers followed this, and they did research to compare children who were picked up just a few minutes a day, who were held and given physical affirmation and love just a few minutes a day. And you know what they found? They found that there were significant differences in their development, that the kids who were even embraced a few minutes a day, they were much healthier. The children who weren't touched in this pivotal formational time in this child's life, they had severe developmental problems mentally, physically, socially. These kids were really impaired. Can I tell you, there's power in love. Love makes a difference. Like, love changes people's lives. I thought about my friends John and Tara Corrett. The Corretts have a beautiful ministry and church and orphanage down in Honduras, in the nation of Honduras, right outside the capital city of Tegucigalpa. And they've adopted several children, I mean, as their own. We're not talking about just fostering these kids. They've brought in something like 30-something children that they've adopted as their own sons and daughters. And they've been loving on these kids and just showing them the love of Jesus. And I got to go down there and just witness this beautiful ministry. Did a medical missions trip down there in 2013. And I'll never forget a story that John told when I was there. He talked about how when they first started bringing these kids into their home, and you have to realize many of these kids came from the streets. They had experienced like abuse and neglect and abandonment, just awful stories. And they brought these kids into the home and began loving on them and just healing them and just pouring out the love of Jesus on these kids. And one of the things that they did every year is they did a Christmas outreach where they would take gifts to poor children on the streets. And John said that early on, it was really hard for the orphan kids because they still saw themselves as orphans and they had never had much growing up. They certainly never had enough to give something to someone else. So they really struggled with being able to give these gifts to other kids because they still saw themselves as being forgotten and abandoned and being poor. But John and Tara just kept loving on these kids, just kept praying for these kids, just kept sharing the love of Jesus with these kids. And John said, I knew a breakthrough had happened one year when one of the kids came to me and said, Dad, we understand now that the toys are for the poor kids. And what had happened is they no longer saw themselves as poor kids anymore because love had changed them. They knew they were sons. They were daughters. They had experienced love. They knew security. And so now they realized that they were different and they had enough capacity to see these toys given to other kids. Come on, how many of you know there's power in love? Like, love changes people. And Paul says, I want you to get a hold of this. My prayer is that you would know and experience God's love in such a way that it transforms you, because the love of Jesus Christ has the greatest power in the world to change people's lives, more powerful than anything else. And in verse 19, he says this, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Like, I want you to experience God's love in such a way, so full of his love, that you would experience the full measure of everything that God has for you in life. Now, when I read this word fullness, I can't help but think about food, because I'm a food lover. Come on, where are all my foodies at? Where are my people who love to eat? Yes, God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Amen. Yes. I think about eating. And you know, every now and then I try to eat a healthy lunch, you know, like this is what happens when you try to eat healthy. Like, I'll eat something like a chicken salad, right? Like, I might have a light lunch. And inevitably what happens is a half an hour later, I'm hungry again. Come on. Any of you experience this? Like, I just burn that salad right off. And then what happens? I find myself grazing on all the junk food that my kids have stashed around the house, all the chips and the cookies and the chocolate, right? You see, this, it backfires. I was trying to eat healthy. But when I eat a good meal that fills me up, come on, like some steak and some mashed potatoes and some vegetables, like, I'm full. I'm not tempted to go eat a bunch of junk because I ate something. I put some meat on my bones and there's a fullness, right? Now take that kind of that mental imagery and think about your love tank being filled up. Come on, we all have a love tank, don't we? Think about your love tank being filled up with the love of Jesus. See, Paul's saying when you're so filled with God's love and his spirit, like, you're not tempted to fill yourself with unhealthy things. Come on, when you've been loved so well, like, when you know that God poured out his love for you when he sent his son Jesus, that he held nothing back, that Jesus sacrificed his life for you, he gave everything for you. Even when you were a sinner, even when you were far away, when you weren't thinking about God, he was thinking about you. Paul's saying when you experience a love like that, like you're not tempted to look for affirmation in the wrong sources or the wrong people. Because isn't that what happens when we feel insecure, when we're kind of out of touch with God's love? We can be tempted to look for love in all the wrong places, as the song goes. We can be tempted like a teenage girl at a dance, just hoping somebody will look at her and dance with her. Like, we can be tempted to look for affirmation in all the wrong things. Affirmation in our career. Affirmation in how much money we make. Affirmation in our possessions. Affirmation in what other people think about us. We can be tempted to run to all of these things. But Paul's saying, my prayer for you is that you'd be so filled with the love of God, that your love tank would be so filled to overflow that you know exactly who you are. Like your identity is healed. Like you're whole. You're affirmed. You're secure in who you are. Come on, love changes people. When you meet somebody who just know who they are, and they know who they are in Christ, there's just a security about who you are in Christ. There's a security for a person who knows their love, for a child who knows their love. And so Paul's saying, this is my prayer for you. I wish you could get a hold of this, a greater revelation of the love of Christ. Okay. Talking about three things that we need to embrace to become everything God wants us to become, to grow spiritually, to embrace God's work in our lives. And here's the third thing. The first thing is the power of the Spirit. The second thing is a greater revelation of God's love. And the third thing is an immeasurably more faith. What does that mean? Well, look at this, verse 20 through 21. This is what we call a doxology. It's a moment in which a writer in Scripture breaks forth into praise. This is actually part of the prayer is praise. So Paul writes this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Here's the third thing we need. It's a type of faith, and it's called immeasurably more faith. Paul's saying, I want your faith to grow. I want you to have faith that he's a God who can do immeasurably more. Look at verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine." Can I tell you this morning that God does not fit the limitations of your expectations? That's the truth. God does not fit the limitations of your expectations, of your imagination. Some of you, you got a big imagination, like you got some big dreams, but God's able to do more than you can ask, more than you can imagine. Come on, some of us, we have some needs in our life right now. Like there's some stuff we could ask God for. I could use some more money. I could use better health. I could use the right woman or the right man in my life. Hallelujah, single people. Come on. How many of you believe in for a godly spouse? Put your hand up. Church is a great place to meet somebody. Just hold your hand up and look around the room. You might find somebody. I'm just saying, church is a really good place to meet somebody. Come on, Jesus, help us. Here's what Paul is saying. He's the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all you can think or imagine. A.W. Tozer, the great writer and spiritualist, said this. He said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Come on, how you conceive God, what you think of when you think of God, is the most important thing about you. Because what can happen is, if we're not careful, sometimes we limit God to the size of our imaginations. That's the truth. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes God didn't do something in life in our timetable when we thought he was going to do it. And we can begin to limit God to the size of our expectations. But Paul is saying God wants to explode your paradigm. God wants to stretch your heart. God wants to stretch your faith. God wants to stretch your capacity to believe that he's the God who can do immeasurably more in your life. Can I tell you that I've learned this in a way I'd never learned it before in planting a church in the last few years? Some of you have heard my story, and I just want to share with you a little bit today. I thought about sharing some other story, and I really feel like the Holy Spirit said, no, share your story, because you're on a journey. You're learning this for yourself. But you know, we moved to Westchester 4 years ago from upstate New York and left all of our family and friends in a great church up there because we had a tug in our hearts, a call in our life, Amy and I and our family, to come down to Westchester to plant a church. And can I tell you that when we arrived in Westchester, we arrived full of faith, excited about like planting a new church and all that God was going to do. And, you know, I just kind of expected God to just begin to do miracles, to honor our big step of faith. We were going to get here and we were going to start meeting all these wonderful people who wanted to help us start a church. Can I tell you, it didn't play out that way? We got here in 2014. We lost my father-in-law the very first week we moved here. Had to turn around and go back and have a funeral. We were emotionally broken. We had a baby a few months later. Can I tell you that this thing moved really slow? We weren't meeting a whole lot of people who were really interested in our little church. Nobody wanted to come to our house to have meetings to hear about our church. They kind of thought we were a little bit crazy, right? And can I tell you that I got to our first summer after moving here full of faith, and I was sitting on the beach with two people who were interested in our church, two people in our family, and we had Nicholas since we got here. So we were growing the church through reproduction. Come on. We used to tell people, we will do whatever it takes to grow this church. We will multiply this church. Okay? We added one church member biologically, and there's only so much you can do, people. And we had two other recruits, okay? I'm sitting on the beach thinking to myself, these people believe in this church, and I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world am I doing in Westchester County, New York? God, I must have missed you. I prayed, I fasted, I thought I heard your voice, but God, I must have missed you. I just ruined my whole ministry, my reputation. I went back and I visited a spot in my journal last night during that season, one of the hardest seasons of my life in Westchester, where I had to write notes to myself, reasons to stay in Westchester. You know, sometimes you got to preach to yourself, right? I wrote myself reasons to stay in Westchester. Stay in Westchester because you're going to ruin your reputation in ministry if you leave. Stay in Westchester because you raised money. People gave you money to plant this church. Stay in Westchester until the money runs out. Stay in Westchester until you get to the summer because it'll be easier on the kids to leave during the summer, you know, with school. Come on, I actually wrote these things to myself. I went back and I read this in my journal. It came this close because everything I could see at that time told me it would be easier to leave than to stay here and try to plant this church. And what happened is that my faith began to become limited by my expectations. My faith was limited because everywhere I saw in the natural, I saw failure. I didn't see a way forward. I didn't see how we could have enough money to stay here and make it. I didn't see how we were going to start a church when there was nobody around. And I began to limit God to the size of my imagination, and I almost gave up. But can I tell you, God is gracious, and he held on to us during that season. And he gave us strength that didn't come from us. And long story short, we held on and with about 10 to 15 people and every family member we could put a t-shirt on 3.5 years ago, we went right over to Theater One. We sent out a 50,000 piece mailer to the community, letting everybody know we're going to have a church. We just decided, let's go big or go home. We have no idea if this is going to work. But on March 29, 2015, we launched a church and 135 people showed up, and we never looked back. And we never looked back. And God's been faithful. He's been faithful. He's grown his church. He's done like immeasurably more. And so now I took out another list last night. I just read this last night. I looked at my list of the things when I was preaching to myself, reasons to even stay in Westchester. And then people started telling me, as God began to open doors and miracles began to happen, God began to say, people began to say, you need to write some of this down. And my dad used to remind me, son, you need to write this down because one day you're going to need to look back and be reminded of what God did in your life. And so then I started keeping a log of all of these miracle stories. And can I tell you, last night, I poured over page after page of God's provision, of how God sent finances at just the right time, and he put people in our path at just the right time, and God opened doors at just the right time, and he connected us with this person who connected us with that person, and if we didn't have them, this couldn't have moved forward, and checks came in the mail, and God provided, and I just read page after page after page last night, and I was reminded I had shrunk God down to the size of my imagination, but I was reminded all over again last night, he's the God who can do immeasurably more than all you can think or imagine. That's who he is. And Paul said, if you could just get a hold of this, if you could just begin to pray this way, if you could just begin to believe this way, if you could just begin to dream this way, can I tell you this morning, he's the God who's able to do immeasurably more. What's your need? What's your situation? What's your difficulty in life? Some of you got a dream for what your marriage could be, but it's broken right now. Some of you got a dream for what your kids could turn out to be like, but you've experienced some setbacks. Some of you got a dream for your career, like for what you would do with your life, with your finances, and you're not where you ever thought you would be. But can I tell you this morning, do not limit God to the size of your expectations, because he's bigger than your expectations. He's bigger than your tiny perspective, your tiny faith. He's the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all that you can ask or imagine. That's who he is. And Paul said, if you would get a hold of that, it would change your life. It would change the way you see things. And I love what verse 20 says, according to his power that is at work within us. Can I tell you this morning, if you're a follower of Christ, there's a greater power at work in you than you can possibly understand. Now, here's the reality. Some days you don't feel that way. Some days you say, Pastor Jeremy, I don't feel like that right now. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things we don't understand. I don't understand electricity, but I know when I flip the light switch on, the lights come on. I've experienced the power of electricity. Go stick your finger in the socket and you will be a believer. Here's the deal. There's a lot of things we don't understand in life. We don't always understand God's timing. We don't always understand God's plan. We don't always understand why God allows certain things to happen in our lives. But I'm telling you, the promise of scriptures, there's a power at work in your life beyond your comprehension. And so we're going to trust God with the process because he's working out. He's a redemptive God and there's a power at work on the inside of you. And so it may be, just maybe, if you feel powerless today to change, if you feel powerless to move forward in life, if you've ever tried this Christian thing under your own strength, like you tried really hard and you failed, can I tell you this morning, you might just be in the right place because powerless people are just the kind of people who might find themselves dependent on the power of God. You know, it's stuck up people who think they have it all together that God really can't help out because they won't allow him to. But when you found yourself at a powerless place in life, that's just the time you might lean into the greatest power source you've ever encountered before. Come on, stand with me this morning. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer because this scripture was meant to be prayed. This is a doxology. It gives glory to God. So we're going to read verses 20 and 21. And we're going to read like the 11 o'clock service, like the service that has some caffeine in us. Like we're a little bit awake this morning, okay? Like we've worshiped, we've had some coffee with a little bit of gust, a little bit of belief, a little bit of faith. We're going to read out verses 20 through 21 together. So I want you to read with me this morning. Come on, everybody stand today. We're going to close this out and we're going to take this prayer and we're going to make it our declaration of faith. And maybe this morning you want to think about your need, your situation, whatever it is that you're trusting God and believing him for. We're going to pray this out together by faith together. Would you read this with me? Here we go. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Come on, amen. That's who God is. We're going to trust in him and give him glory today. We're going to pray into this morning. Would you pray with me? Let's make this personal today. Come on, let's embrace the work that God wants to do in our lives together this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your love today. God, we thank you for your grace over our lives. We thank you for the promise of your word. And Lord, today we want to embrace this prayer for our lives today. Lord, today we want to be strengthened in the inner being by your spirit. So we say, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Come on, somebody needs to pray that personally. Holy Spirit, come into my life, into my need, into my situation. God, I'm leaning on your strength today. God, we thank you that the word says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God, today you are renewing us from the inside out. Some of us been tired on the outside. We've been weary, God. We've been a little bit beat up in the physical, in the natural. But God, today you are strengthening us on the inside by your spirit. Lord, today we're praying for a greater revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. God, a greater revelation of your love, that God, your love would be bigger than our fear, that your love would be bigger than our doubts, than our guilt, than our self-condemnation. God, we're asking for power today to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God, which is for us today in Christ Jesus. And Lord, today we're praying for immeasurably more faith. God, don't let our faith stay so weak and so tired and so flimsy, but God, today put a faith inside of us that comes from you, that you're the God who's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to your power that's at work within us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's worship together. Let's sing it out. Sing it out.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.